GetTheTea.com.
President Obama goes right for the jugular in a speech addressing the deficit. Oh, the budget issue continues to rage in Washington. But do we care across America? Well, of course we care. It affects you. What's going to happen with your taxes? Ultimately, what's going to happen where you work? If you work for somebody, are their taxes going to go up? Does that get passed on to you? And are you going to leave your children, grandchildren, etc., with a whole bunch of debt? Money they got to pay back, ultimately. I say they got to pay back because it's we, the taxpayers, we're the government, it's our money. All the money that's floating around is our money. The people in Washington represent you. Never forget that. I think there is a discord there or somehow a disconnect is a better way to say that. There is discord, but there's a disconnect. Never forget it's we the people. It's that little phrase. Carry that around in your mind. It is your government, so you should definitely fight for what you think is right. That's why we love doing this show, ATN. It is the super highway to water cooler opinion, and you can be a part of it each and every time we roll it out at 800-259-5791. So you care now to hear what the president has to say about the deficit after all the wrangling back and forth on the Hill and all the stuff about the debt ceiling hitting over $14 trillion. What do we do? Default on the debt. Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, says we can't do that. If we do that, it's catastrophic. It'll kill the financial networks out there, and it's not possible to do it. It's not possible. It is possible to do it. So you're not going to make any friends in Congress by strong-arming them. Ultimately, I think you're going to see more grandstanding on that in the next 5 weeks, but we're not going to default on the loans, and that's what happens. There's a lot of hot air coming out of D.C. Not to be cynical and not to keep beating the drum in the same direction, but yes, it's true. I know you're shocked, huh? What did the president have to say in his speech? Well, I'm going to let you hear some of the finer points. Take a listen.
I don't need another tax cut. Warren Buffett doesn't need another tax cut. Not if we have to pay for it by making seniors pay more for Medicare or by cutting kids from Head Start. Everybody pays, but the wealthier have borne a little more. This is not because we begrudge those who've done well. We rightly celebrate their success. To meet our fiscal challenge, we will need to make reforms. We will all need to make sacrifices. But we do not have to sacrifice the America we believe in. And as long as I'm president, we won't. There's nothing serious about a plan that claims to reduce the deficit by spending $1 trillion on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And I don't think there's anything courageous about asking for sacrifice from those who can least afford it and don't have any clout on Capitol Hill.
All right, so an America we can believe in. Do you believe in America? Do you believe in what's happening these last couple of years? I mean, we could wind the clock back really pre-Obama, 2008, the fall of 2008, and how disastrous that was with the banks and the rippling effects of those subprime mortgages. The housing market is a mess. It still is. There are choice pieces of real estate where it isn't. Still that whole location thing. And it goes back to the people who have the money. But even the people who have the money in some of the spots like in California and whatnot are upside down. Florida's a mess. You can get some of these pricier homes on these islands for a song because the people couldn't afford them anymore. They couldn't afford the mortgages. They couldn't make the payments. And they couldn't afford the taxes. But this has been going on for years. But yet we keep hearing that there's jobs, the economy's getting better, the nightmare is semi-over, except for, what about the budget? We couldn't do anything with it for 6 months. Now we're threatening with shutdowns and threatening of not going through forwarding funding the bill. But I think that'll be solved. I think the 2011, it's done. I mean, even if there's some a little bit of grandstanding, I think it's done. Next thing is really the deficit, and it's just shocking where we are. And the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is supposedly nonpartisan, they came out and they said the budget deal basically will cut spending only by $352 million. $352 million is, folks, a drop in the bucket. And you know that. It's nothing. It's nothing. So what about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, people who have worked their whole lives and count on that are scared to death because all they're seeing is the headlines about the poor is gonna they're gonna pay, we're gonna have to cut those programs, forget all the entitlements, all that sort of stuff. Well, there should be grandfathered clauses into this stuff if that were to happen. I don't think it will, but the CBO is saying that if you look at the 2011 spending deal that Congress is going to vote on Thursday, they're saying that it would cut spending by less than 1/100th of what both Republicans and Democrats, rather, are claiming. 1/100th. So nothing. And that's what I always say. You have to really look beyond the numbers that are out there. There are increases in spending in that deal, including at the Defense Department. They cut reserve funds. There's mandatory spending programs. And they're writing off cuts from funding that might not have even, they say, been spent. So, you know, here's a question. Can we really honestly say to ourselves, I'm beginning to wonder, in my lifetime, does this budget ever, does our deficit crisis ever get solved? Does that happen? In Obama's speech, he made it pretty clear, if you're rich, you should be paying more in taxes, and you heard that through what we just played for you there, that they can pay, they can afford it, let's do it, and really now at this point, what you have to ask yourself, what's driving all of this rhetoric, all this debate over the debt? What is it? What is it that has many of you even still interested in? There's a million other things we could talk about, things that definitely affect us as well in our own backyard, and some of the lighter fun stuff, which we have done here on America Tonight, but we keep coming back to the budget. So what is it about the budget? You know, people want to know, what's the debt ceiling? How high is the debt ceiling? And I think all of you know that we're talking about it's set at over $14 trillion, 14.294 to be exact about that. And how we got here in the first place, how did we get here in the first place? Borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. I think right now, here's the thing. If they vote not to do this or they just don't do it, then that means the Treasury wouldn't be able to borrow more money. And people are saying, well, why should we care about that? Well, the reason we care about it is because they got us in such a headlock right now that if we default on the loans, what would the negative economic repercussions be across the country? And trust me, it would unfortunately affect every single one of us. Stay with us.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hello again, I'm back. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources. And I want to address a couple of issues that I hear about daily when we're talking about gold and silver. First, is there anything to suggest that sunny skies are just ahead? We continue to print fiat dollars, inflation worsens, there's civil unrest around the world, and the demand for gold and silver has never, ever been higher. Next, if you heard that possessing metals is a complicated process, I assure you that whether we're discussing a direct purchase or an IRA rollover, this is a simple, straightforward transaction. This is all about protecting your assets, and frankly, what are your options? Stock market, real estate, metal certificates? I don't think so. Please call me, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise a casual conversation, no pressure, no nonsense. I'm John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I sincerely look forward to hearing from you.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin.
Back in Rome, and their tombs. Flakes of building
just one of 11 great songs from the album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-E-L-Y-N. Ravelin.com. Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
I'm making my move to get away from all this budget conversation. We get it. The president throws in on what should be done and says, hey, I'm going to tax the rich, or we should tax the rich. And he's going to do it because, remember, he's not the legislative branch. He's suggesting that's what should happen and closing all those loopholes. That was the main thrust of the $4 trillion in 12 years. And it's like this is one of these things where you just have to forget what happened in the past, because we can't go back to the past now, too late. If somebody had just looked down the road and handicapped this a little bit better, then perhaps we wouldn't be in this much trouble. It's easier to dig your way out of a little bit of debt, or at least to brainstorm and try to figure out ways not to keep driving the debt higher and higher, and the deficit, pushing it higher and higher and higher. Like anything, we're awful at that when it comes to numbers and pushing them in certain directions. Look at the immigration woes that we have. Illegal immigration, when the spigot was turned on and the people were being hired all over the place to do all kinds of jobs, and you know, the numbers were pretty high. I think the numbers that were thrown out were actually low, the 10, 11 million. I think it's way more than that. But why wasn't that seriously addressed? There were laws on the books from the Reagan administration saying, you know, the fines for hiring illegal workers in the businesses, but it never really happened. So that was a blunder. And, you know, once in a blue moon, that was a big blunder because you could have nipped it in the bud in the beginning. And why there weren't some tougher laws or rules or whatever you want to call it on the books before it got so out of control that you're draining some of the cities of much needed resources, meaning money. The hospitals don't, you know, they can't keep taking these these patients, but they do. They take the patients, and then who does it get passed on to? You and me, the cost for treating the illegals. And what are they supposed to do? What are the doctors supposed to do? What's the hospital supposed to do? And that's what's going to happen. So there's a theme running. This is a running theme with us in the United States. When it gets bad, do not bury your head in the sand and ignore what's going on. Or don't let the people get away with it who are making the bucks and surrounding themselves with their friends, and they all have their hand in the till. Catch them and get them out of there in whatever spot they're in, whatever position they're in. Speaking of that, a lot of you have been sending me notes. It's probably because I talk about it a lot, and I haven't even talked about it during this hour of America tonight. But gasoline and where we're headed for gas, you know, you go back into the archives and you dig up, geez, what was I paying when the banks were too big to fail in the fall? What was I paying for gasoline? $1.60 for a gallon of regular. So now, here we are, 2011, and we're paying the average $3.81. And what's interesting, going back to 2008, what's interesting is I can remember being on the air and talking about the gas, and the gas was up over $4, and people, that's all they want to talk about. It didn't matter what else was going on in the world. That's all anybody was focused on, that they couldn't believe it. They could barely get to work because now all of a sudden they had to pay for all this gas. And where were they going to get this extra money to do that? And that conversation is heated up again because people are feeling the pain at the pump. Gas has been spiking for weeks. For weeks that's happened. In California, Alaska, and Hawaii, they've been way above $4 a gallon. I was there, remember, back in March and saw how high the gasoline was. So if we look at the current oil prices, there's a 33% chance that the national average gas could, for sure, just like the Californians, would hit four for sure by July. $4. How many people are taking those road trips? Or they're looking for another mode of transportation. But that'll go up too. Any long-term train rides and whatnot, they'll jack those prices up as well. Something else to talk about on the show that got stuck under my skin, I guess, is for 8 years we've been talking about Barry Bonds. And I did a sports show in Dallas, and I did a sports show in New York, and we talked about Barry Bonds. I had other baseball players on. You know, it was that whole steroid issue thing. It's taken this long for the whole Bonds thing to go through the courts, and finally there is a verdict, and he is guilty, but it's kind of a wishy-washy verdict. Technically, he could, for obstructing, he could get 10 years in prison. Reality is he gets home confinement, so he has to slap on a bracelet. That's probably what's going to happen with this obstruction of justice that he was found guilty on. So 10-day trial, almost four days of deliberations. You had 8 women on the jury, 4 men, and that's the verdict they came back with. Wow. Bonds, just no reaction, no emotion, no anything. But his team said that the guilty verdict should be thrown out. They set a hearing for May 20th to talk about that. The counts that the jury couldn't resolve accused Bonds of lying to the grand jury investigating Balco in 2003 when he said he didn't knowingly take steroids. Each count would have carried a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. But the guidelines, you know, when they suggest what you should get, the most 21 months. But he could get home confinement. That happened to a couple of people. There's a track coach, Trevor Graham, who got 1 year of home confinement, and that was another Balco case. And there was also a cyclist, Tammy Thomas, who got 6 years. So chances are Bonds probably does the ankle bracelet thing and he's just home. The needle part, I think, was the tricky part for this jury. From everything that I read and what we were looking at heading into this thing, actually, it's fun to find out what the jury, why they came to a decision. The panel voted 11-1 to convict him of getting an injection from someone other than his doctor, with one woman holding out. So the needle count accused Bonds of lying when he said that no other person than his doctors injected him with anything. But you had the woman who testified that she saw the trainer inject him before a road trip. So that's what got him stuck. So that's what hung up Bonds, I think. So one count is better than nothing, but for the prosecutors that were really trying to make an example of him, this is nothing. The 15 months or less, nothing. How would you like to see Chris Rock on CNN? I know that's a wild left turn, but if you're paying attention at all, you're reading the paper, you're listening to this show, and you're hearing the crazy musical chairs with anchors and shows, and you know, CNN's problem is they can't make up their mind. They get somebody in there, and then they switch them within a year or less. They don't give people the time to like them or not like them. So they're trying to find a new host, and they're trying to win back some of the viewers they lost. And Chris Rock is someone who's being talked about, that he could host a set. I wonder what that show would be like on CNN. They did shoot a pilot with Soledad O'Brien, but you gotta love this. She works for them, and the rumor, the gossip, the nasty stuff gets out that it was deemed unwatchable by the worldwide president, Jim Walton. That's nice. That's got to make her feel comfortable. The suits say, the main suit, who decides what's going to happen, says it's unwatchable. So, I don't know, maybe they're going to shoot another pilot after the nasty comments. So, Lou Dobbs. Remember Lou Dobbs was replaced by John King, and King's ratings have been struggling, but it's because they keep switching. Something has to be consistent. You get somebody good in there, let them blossom into it. Get somebody decent. Come on. I have to go back and see how many people they've actually had in those jobs. We're talking oil and lies coming up on the flip side here on ATN.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-0976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, the president's speech is what we've been talking about. Deficit reduction, he said $4 trillion, but what does that mean over 12 years? The energy people were concerned as to what was going to happen there, where the axe was going to land. Would it be heavy taxation on the oil industry? Would that be the big fat solution to the rising energy costs, by the way? And would that be a big piece of what he would talk about earlier in the day? It turned out that wasn't so much of it. There were really broad strokes, but ultimately you got to figure it may work its way in there. Dan Kish joins us. He's with the Institute for Energy Research. Dan is the VP of Policy. Dan, thanks so much for hanging with us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
First of all, just your anticipation, you know how that is, like I said, with broad strokes. When we're talking about budgets and deficits and solutions, there always seems to be things that sneak in there that you didn't realize that, oh, yeah, this is ultimately coming around. And I heard that there was going to be a big axe that would go toward the oil industry or actually an increase as far as taxation.
Yeah, I mean, that's been pretty consistent for in each of his budgets, Kate. He has proposed what he defines it differently. He says he's going to take away tax subsidies and says that those folks are doing just well and just fine right now and don't need tax subsidies. But they are. We all know from paying at the pump that the price of energy has been hiked, but the fact is the reason their profits are so big is because the product that they sell, it's the sales. As a percentage, their profits aren't nearly as large as pharmaceutical companies, banks, your normal industry, but it takes a lot of money to find more oil to go out there and drill. What the president has been doing is taking money out of the treasury and putting it into, from our perspective at IER, what he's doing is basically what Ronald Reagan referred to as the government's approach to life, which was If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. And that's what he's been doing with energy. And Congress has not passed those increases because ultimately those are going to be passed on to the consumers. The last thing that consumers need right now is a tax that theoretically is pointed at energy companies that they end up paying, because that's who ultimately pay taxes anyway.
Yeah, and explain that too, because if you – and you did it there somewhat when you were talking about what happens when you pull up at the pump and you don't realize about, yeah, the profits look so big, and they do, because they come out and everyone says, oh, they're just – it's terrible. How can that be? And look what's happening to the rest of us. That's why we're paying so much at the pump. But it's not really defined, and that's the truth of it. It really is. There are a lot of things that people don't realize, including – if you look at what's happening with oil, and you could explain this better than I can, but the increase of imports of oil from these nations, what we'll call hostile nations, when you look at especially the Middle East, that means you're going to pay more at the pump, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess the problem is that this is coupled with a number of moves that they've taken to reduce production of energy here at home. Kate, in the United States, there are over 9 million people, men and women, involved in the petroleum industry, oil and gas. It's the, you know, if you heat your home with natural gas, there are people out there drilling wells, building pipelines, transporting that to make sure that the heat is on. The same thing with drilling. I mean, 95% of the wells drilled in the United States are drilled by small independent companies, not big oil, because in reality, big oil gets a huge proportion of its oil from foreign countries rather than producing it here in the United States. And part of the reason they do that is because it's easier to get permission to drill in other countries. And as the president demonstrated in Brazil a couple weeks ago, he went down there and asked them to continue drilling and will buy their oil, and yet we've got tens of thousands of people out of work in the Gulf of Mexico right now waiting to go back to work because the government had a moratorium.
Yeah, so as you said, when you look at the industry, 9 million people, 95% with the drilling, smaller companies, facts that are never really released, couple that with the president's trip to Brazil, which we did talk about on America Tonight. And it's like he's talking out of, I have to say, it's like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. It sounds good when he's making the speech and people don't understand, and he keeps pounding that point home. But ultimately, that's when you peel away the layers, it's not really true when you look at the statistics, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, we have a lot of energy. One of the mistaken things that people have been led to believe in the United States is that we don't have any more oil, and that's why we have to stop using it or buy it from foreign countries or whatever. But the truth is, Kate, we have enormous amounts. The Congressional Research Service recently released a report that said the United States has more energy resources available to it than any other country in the world.
So if we were able to go after those resources, it would be, I would assume, cheaper for folks that are listening to the show tonight.
Oh, not just that, Kate, but what it would result in is a lot of Americans getting jobs and good jobs by producing. Well, think about it. If we're spending $100 a barrel and sending it to foreign countries, and we're spending $300 or $400 billion of Americans' money per year on buying that foreign oil when we could be producing it here at home. That means that $300 or $400 billion a year would be employing Americans, putting our people to work instead of people in other countries, and we'd be the beneficiaries. That money would roll around in our economy instead of going over there. And that's the real key. Not only would we get the energy benefit of having, you know, less dependency on other places, but it would also increase supplies, dropping the price, and then more Americans would have good jobs producing it. So, or somewhere through the chain, you know, whether they're working in a shop making pipes or whatever it is that go to this very capital-intensive industry that keeps all our lights on, keeps us moving, and and all the rest. So that's the real key. And to the extent we want to increase taxes on our own companies here at home, it means we'll get less here at home and we'll buy more from foreign countries. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense to me either. And I even saw something that the Petroleum Institute did last year on the, and it's what you're talking about, it's the same thing, on raising taxes, what ultimately happens too, you're just killing the domestic product by a crazy number. We just didn't say the number. It was like 700,000 barrels of oil a day or something by 2020. That's a staggering number, I think.
Oh, yeah. And it just means, and here's the key. When we kill that amount of oil here in the United States, we just import that amount of oil from foreign countries. We, in essence, stop paying Americans to work to make that oil, and we instead pay foreigners to make that oil and bring it in. And if they happen to not like us, then we have the additional expenses related to defense expenditures to ensure that our sea lanes are open and all the rest. It simply makes sense. There's nothing wrong with free trade. And for example, we get a lot of oil from Canada. It's our number one supplier of imported oil. I'm not worried about Canada, and I don't think most Americans are. They're our friends. But to the extent we're getting it from Hugo Chavez and places that don't like us in the Middle East, it simply complicates life, especially when we have an abundance of it here at home that we could be using to add value to our economy instead of sending that abroad and then wondering why millions of people are out of work.
Yeah, no kidding. But when we started talking at the very beginning of this about, you know, the prices at the pump and how they would go up and whatnot, where do you think, because this is what you do and you look at the numbers and you talk to the people in the oil industry and all that, where do you think oil will be by the end of the year if we continue down these roads? I mean, are we going to see like European prices? What happens if it hits $5 for a gallon of regular? I think people will go crazy. What do you think?
I think if it hits $5, I think it's already hurting, Kate. I don't think Washington understands. You'll hear a lot of talking heads talk about how, well, it can go a little higher. There's a lot of people in the United States who absolutely have to use their cars or trucks for their jobs and their transportation, their family duties and obligations and the like. And the idea that it's going to $4 a gallon or is at already at $4 a gallon is already taking money out of people's pockets that they use to buy other things. That's going to hurt the overall economy. The idea that somehow driving up the price of energy will force people to use less, and that's a good thing, is not a is not a good thing. We use energy to make our lives better, and this whole idea that energy is a bad thing and has to be avoided and therefore making it more expensive is simply historically and economically incorrect. And ultimately, if it gets to $5, people are going to go crazy. I'm going to go crazy myself.
I agree, because the average – I read something the other day, and I've said this too before, that the average commute for a lot of people's – Dan, is like 45 minutes each way. So how are they going to get around that? How do you get around that?
Absolutely.
The carpooling thing doesn't work because people have crazy hours that don't match up with the person that sits next to them.
Exactly. Affordable energy gives us the freedom to be able to move where we want, when we want it. And no amount of central planning from Washington is going to make up for the fact that when you have an obligation you can go to your car and get in it and go and don't have to, line up somewhere. And that's the way Americans, that's the way we roll, if you will.
We're not Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
We're not Europe.
And the transportation is different.
And I'm glad we're not.
Yeah, and the transportation is different in every city. Dan Kish, Institute.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool.
Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed. Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond our borders. Hope you're having a great week. If you're not, oh, it's almost the weekend. See, it's that positioning in your head. You got to turn it around. So they're talking about passing this debt limit increase. And it's, you know, we keep talking about money. So I don't want to end this show on the debt and what the president said and all that stuff. So let's just clean it up quickly here. The Treasury Secretary, Little Tim, said that Congress is going to allow the country to borrow more by agreeing to increase the debt limit. Great. And that, yeah, Congress is going to pass this increase in the debt limit. They have to do it. Republicans are saying, get out of here. Why don't you go skiing or pound sand? We're not going to raise the debt ceiling without some reforms to government spending. So it's more maneuvering. And you're going to start to hear scary words like we're on the brink, a catastrophe, we're screwed, the financial markets will collapse, all that sort of stuff. And sadly, it is the worst position to be in. It is. So we're going to default on all these loans. But why do we always have our backs against the wall? It's so convenient, isn't it? Because then it's easy to come out and say, okay, well, it's your choice. You know, here's what's going to happen if you don't vote in this direction. The banks are just too big to fail. AIG, the three dreaded letters. We can't let that happen. Not everybody was thrilled, by the way, with the president saying, okay, so we're going to get rid of $4 trillion over 12 years. And then a few of the finer points that he talked about, including new taxes and spending reductions in the tax code and all that sort of stuff. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, never shy about sharing his opinion. A penny for your thoughts, Mr. Boehner.
Not meeting our obligations, our debt obligations, is a very bad idea, and nobody wants to take that risk. I think the president heard us loud and clear. If we're going to resolve our differences and do something meaningful, Raising taxes will not be part of that.
We can't tax the very people that we expect to reinvest in our economy and to create jobs. Washington has a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
So let's go to Tomas in Michigan. He's waiting in the wings. Yo, Tomas, you get the first word on this crazy budget nonsense, ridiculous stuff that we've been talking about ad nauseum. What's up?
Ad nauseum, yes. What a way to start off a conversation. So I heard that you were giving away a dog or something. If somebody could tell you the last year that the budget was in surplus.
You made that up, but okay.
I swear I heard it. Maybe, because I wouldn't listen to anybody else. Well, anyway, just for giggles, the last time that a president was balancing the budget on a consistent basis was Mr. Clinton. And you know how he did it, Kate. He attacked from both ends. Now, he had a Republican Congress in there. So they were doing their best to cut spending, and he, of course, was raising taxes. And guess what? Boom, they had a balanced budget and a surplus, and, you know, it actually looked like the impossible was going to happen and we were going to pay off our entire national debt. But then, you know, 9/11 came, Bush came in, and everybody started spending money again and lowering taxes. So I think that the way you take care of this is you attack it from both directions. And, of course, Republicans out there say, no, we're not going to raise any taxes. And, you know, I don't trust – I mean, I think if they took, like, blood samples of all the senators and congressmen, they would find a gene there that does not let them tell the truth for more than one election cycle.
Because they got to get elected. That's it. You got to feed the people what they want. You've got to tell them everything they want to hear. It's what you got to do. It's just like you're on a date with a beautiful woman. You want to close the deal. You got to tell her what she wants to hear, right?
Oh no, I'm always about personality and character myself.
So spin.
But anyway, the train just went choo-choo-choo right off the track on that one. So, you know, I mean, I could balance the budget in 1 year. I also heard on your radio station you were saying that, you know, we're all the smart, intelligent people in the country, so I definitely had to call in.
And volunteer. You
know, the Bush tax cuts, every year they would have saved $370. I would raise $400 billion in taxes, and then $700 billion I would cut. You know, 19% is what that comes out to. You cut 19%. Some people are cutting more than that. Some people are getting rid of the entire energy department or trying to get rid of the entire education department. It's doable, Kate. But you know what? Like we said before, you know, if you can get paid for doing something for 10 years, why, you know, just do it for 1 year?
Right.
That's
why the incentive isn't there. Absolutely. That's what the problem is. Yeah. And so now, so Obama's, I don't either. I mean, we've been saying that. We know that that's the problem. That's why I think from the get-go I was saying we need a third party or somebody different or whatever, because it's not working. Thanks, Tomas. So Tomas says, okay, so you gotta throw them both out there. If you want to be able to, raise taxes on the wealthy over some of the massive objections of the Republicans, then that's what you got to do. And he's right about the Clinton scenario, where he was able to do that with the taxes and through a couple of other means with programs too, and cutting and then using the taxes. But you know what the problem is with that, of course, is that the taxes, when you look at the businesses, if you go after businesses specifically, then where does that trickle down to? It trickles down to the little guy. It just does. Because how many small businesses do we have in this country? So when you're talking about revamping the tax code, all of that has to be wide open. I mean, let's hear what you mean when you say you want to revamp the tax code. So to me, the last guy who truly did it without a lot of pain, It was more about pleasure, was Eisenhower. He was really the guy that consistently was able to balance the budget. Okay, so remember, I think I hear some dogs. Our kennel is open. If you're the first caller in, do we have some dogs? Are there dogs in the back? There they are. They pay attention to me as much as Mahalo does. All right, so if you're the first person to call now, not somebody who's waiting to jump on, but if you're the first person to call at 800-259-5791, you get a copy of Your Dog, The Owner's Manual, hundreds of secret surprises, all that nonsense. Dr. Marty Becker, he's coming on the show. He's a really cool guy. He's been on a whole bunch of tube, but I just like what he has to say. I think he's going to be a challenge for the dog whisperer. I mean, not to take anything away from Milan, not to take anything away from Cesar, but I think he's pretty good, too. Just he has some common sense things that people don't do. And you know, I like the whole, you know, I'm into the dog thing now. I never had a dog. Now I have Mahalo, so there's still some things I would like for Mahalo to learn. Quickly, I said that also, by the way, so 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. If you're the first person to call and say, I want the dog book, boom, first person in, you get it. I wanted to not just make everything about the budget, because there are a whole slew of things that I think are horrible that are going on that are worth shining a light on that you might have read maybe earlier in the day, or there's been conversations about it. We've talked about the TSA so much here. And there's a story, and I think all of you know, about the six-year-old girl who was patted down by the TSA, really patted down. They showed pictures of it. She was basically frisked. Kids are taught about the whole stranger danger thing and all that. And at six, you don't get it. Why, you're thinking you did something wrong. So the Drexels, Selima and Todd, that's their name, they're trying to explain to their kid why that happened. I mean, kids get to take the shoes off and go through the tunnel thing and all of that. But the pat down that she got at the airport in New Orleans really shook her up. The kid just had no idea what was going on and thought that she had done something, and they didn't think it was going to happen, I'm certain. So they were stunned when it did, and they had a video of her going through the screening, and it's all over the internet. You can certainly find it, getting thousands of views on YouTube, and it shows the TSA agent rubbing the girl's thighs and running her fingers inside the top of her blue jeans, and oh, the poor kid, she just looks so shocked. I don't know, what could she possibly, you think she's going to blow up an airplane? What possibly could this child have had going on? You know, it's ridiculous. Stupid. It happened on April 5th, so now the TSA says they're going to review some of their procedures. Yeah. Give me a break. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net, through the website. You know how it goes.